And we're back. It's time for a Stripe Show pod. It is Tuesday afternoon. I am Keith Stewart. We are sans Travis as he is traveling throughout the wide open spaces of the United States of America. So he asked me to step in and give you all a little betting preview for the Procore Championship. What's the Procore Championship? Well, I'll explain that all in just a minute. But first, let's wrap up the week off that was. There's no doubt that we're all looking forward to the President's Cup in a couple weeks' time. In fact, I'm traveling up to Royal Montreal in order to cover the event for the international and the U.S. side. But in the meantime, the PGA Tour, after 1 week off, is back. The FedEx Cup Fall Series that we all kind of witnessed last year is coming back in its exact same form. Forget the creativity of it all. We're going to do 8 events over 3 months in order to figure out who gets their card for 2025. Now, it's important to explain all of this up front before we get into the week after week, you know, kind of hamster wheel coverage of the PGA Tour and the events that we normally are used to, the Sanderson Farms, this, the Procore, which was the Fortinet before that out in Napa. Of course, we've got Bermuda, the RSM down at Sea Island. It's the same cast of characters. There's 8 events. The top 50 in the FedEx Cup points from 2024, those guys are all set. They are locked in. They have signature status. The ones that went to the Tour Championship, well, they're in the top 30. They have major championship status. But 51 through 151, 251, those guys are competing to get inside the top 125. And that top 125 gets you your tour card for next season. Remember now, this is not part of the PGA Tour season. This is kind of limbo. These guys are working on getting their cards in order to be able to compete in the FedEx Cup regular season, which will go from January of next year, the Century, all the way into late August in the Tour Championship. Similar, well, same exact format that we just went through in 2024. So these guys that are 51 or higher, they have 8 events this fall. The top 10, if you remember from last year, 51 through 60, those guys will earn signature status, which is a huge deal. So they have a lot to play for there. And or if you're outside the top 125 or you're above 100 and you could slide outside the top 125, well, then those guys have certainly got to do some work this fall. And the Shriners, or there's even a new, the Black Desert Championship out in Utah. There's a new event. We're going to go over to Japan for the Zozo. So we've got all sorts of great fun festivities to take place this fall. And one of the main or marquee events of the whole thing is the President's Cup. Now, I don't know how you feel about the LIV and the PGA Tour and who should play on the team but who shouldn't. But we have 12 guys for each side. There's the international side and then there's the U.S. side. And 6 of those gentlemen, 3 from each team, are competing this week in Napa. So let's get to the Procore Championship. We are out at the Silverado Resort. We've been there since October of 2014, so now we've got 10 years under our belt there. They use the North Course. There's 2 courses there. They use the North Course, and we're familiar with that one. It's been the same one. Now, back in 2023, entering last year's tournament, we did some rerouting. So if you're going with an old scorecard older than last year, or you're just going with a website that's just cranking out the same scorecard year after year after year, guess what? There have been some changes. Holes 9 through 17 have all been rerouted. It's the same holes that are on the North Course. They just use them in a different order. So pay attention to that as you are putting together your plan on how these guys are going to take care of this place. Now, the 6 guys from the President's Cup that are in the field, they also are at the top, as they should be, because they're on the President's Cup teams. They earn the right to be there. They're also at the top of the betting board. And those guys on the American side, you've got your defending champion, Sahith Theegala. You've got Wyndham Clark. You've also got Max Homa, a bit of a polarizing subject this week for sure. On the international side, you have Corey Connors, Mac Hughes, Minwoo Lee. And believe it or not, as if this guy doesn't have enough work to do, Mike Weir, who once won the Procore Championship many moons ago, he's here as a past champion, and he's competing this week. It's too bad Jim Furyk didn't come. You know, they had him on the website up until Friday when the official lineups were announced, when the field list came out of the 144, top 65 and ties make the cut for $6 million. Now, you know, it's better when Travis is here because I'm going to get on a ton of tangents, but I'll do my best to keep things on track. Last year, the purse for this event, $8.4 million. This year, $6 million. Procore was only announced as the lead sponsor for this event back in late July. It was like July 30th was the press release. So it seems as if organizing this fall run is always in a little bit of state of flux, but we are back at a golf course that we're very familiar with. Six guys from the President's Cup are here. You wonder how much they are motivated. I mean, Sahith is here to defend his title. Max certainly needs to start to play better, and he is the two-time, not defending champion, but two-time champion from 2021 and 2022. So he won the two events prior to Sahith last year. And what are we looking at here for a golf course? If you don't remember the Silverado Resort, it's up there in wine country. We're in Napa, California, so we're in Northern California, where the weather forecast this week looks prime time for golf. Starts out, and this is why they grow wine there, folks, right, in these valleys. 50 degrees in the morning, almost 85 to 90 degrees in the afternoon. Maybe a little layering piece in the morning as if you tee off in one of those early groups, but by the afternoon, it is perfect for golf. They haven't had much rain up there. The golf course is going to be in impeccable, impeccable shape, and it's going to be open for scoring. You know, over the last 10 years, the average winning score here is 17 under. Over the last 5 years, the average winning score is 19 under par. So you definitely want to bring your birdie or better skills when you come in. And we'll talk about the favorites and a couple of leans I have in just a few minutes. But in order to get down that road, what are we favoring when it comes to the agronomy, the architecture, the design, and the history that we know about Silverado Resort's North Course? So the first skill set that I am kind of featuring as I built out my betting card is that you got to get the ball in between the trees. And what I mean by that is that the fairways are tight here, but the penalty for missing the fairways just by a little bit isn't the roughest in the world, right? Think of Harbortown. Think of Wailea, right? This is very much a positional test this week. It's par 72. Scorecard has the usual allotment, 4 threes, 4 fives, and 10 fours, and it's 7,123 yards. I'll say that again, 7,123 yards, which isn't very long by PGA Tour standards. So what happens is there's a lot of creative dog legs, and there's some good design here. Nine of the par fours are under, nine of the 10 par fours, there's 10 total, are under 435 yards in length. So you know that we're going to see some dog legs. You know they're going to have to see off the tee. The guys are going to have to play a little bit of chess, not checkers, and be positional and get themselves in play. But really this thing, if you got to keep it in between the trees, if you get wide off the tee and you get to the point where you're punching out, then you won't be able to keep up. As we said, you know, the average winning score is right around 20 under par over the last 5 years. So you've got to be able to get, I mean, the last 10 winners have averaged 23 subpar scores in the year that they won. Now, at 72 holes, that's like a third of the holes that you're playing. So you've got to be in position to attack. And when you do get in the fairway or you keep it between the trees, even if you're in the rough, it's easy to hit these greens. You know, 6,000 square feet on average. They're not super large. They're not super small. You know, this is standard issue stuff for these guys, especially since a large majority of their approach shots are going to come from 125 to 150 yards. So the guys that are best with their wedges, with their 9-iron, with their 8-iron, those are the guys that we're going to be featuring this week. Those are the ones that you definitely want to pay attention to.
If you're like most golfers, you blame yourself when you miss a short putt. So after you hold back the urge to throw your putter in the lake, don't do that. You try to fix your putting stroke. But how long does that last? 1 week, one round, one hole? There's a company called Lab Golf that doesn't think you should be blaming yourself. That's because all putters have this thing called torque, which means the putter face is trying to twist during stroke. So you grip it like a snake. What Lab Golf did is they figured out how to make putters with no torque. They call it lie angle balance. And you have to feel it to believe it. I did. The Lab Golf putter, you don't have to use a funny putting grip to try to keep the face square. You can putt it any way you want because Lab Golf putter stays perfectly square by itself. It's effortless. To see how much easier putting can be, head over to labgolf.com.
So to start out with the skill set, A, you got to get the ball and play off the tee. Keep it between the trees. Give yourself a straight shot toward these hole locations. And then B, there's no doubt that you're going to have great proximity to the hole in that 150-yard range, give or take 25 yards. But, I mean, this is definitely one of those golf courses where our wedge guys, our iron play guys, you know, historically, we always bring up a name like a Tom Hoagie or something like that, you know, which was interesting because last year, you know, Thigala sprays a little bit off the tee. And at that point, he wins for the first time a year ago, but this wasn't like this past year with all the success he had in the signature events, his ball striking wasn't actually to the level of his short game and his putting. And, you know, no doubt he gained 9 strokes with the putter that week and he shot 21 under par. So, you know, there are a lot of things to feel good about, but, this may have been one of the more inspirational moments in his career to kind of like iron out some of the ball striking. And, you know, we look all around the board for some really talented guys that can maybe wrap together their first win like Thigala did. You know, everyone wanted Thigala to win something big, the Waste Management Phoenix Open, you know, one of those types of events. He was close at TPC River Highlands. But as it turns out, he won here. Max Homa, who, you know, battle back from his career being on and off the Corn Ferry Tour, losing his card and everything. This is a place where he's won twice and he's shown success. Stuart Sink, when he came back a couple years ago and he won twice in a year, you know, right around 50 years old. I mean, so you get some really interesting storylines here and you got to pay attention to the skills you need. Get it between the trees, be a great wedge player, get it close. And then from there, you got to have guys that can go low. So, definitely looking at the leaderboards of tournaments that, you know, there's one that I love, which is the Barracuda Championship. Now, everyone forgets about this tournament, but we were over at Royal Troon in the Open Championship, and this was a secondary PGA Tour event that was taking place up there in Truckee, California, which is a fancy way for saying Northern California. There was some elevation there, but that golf course we know well, and the guys that can hit it around those tree-lined fairways score a ton, and it trends. The guys that play well there on those POA greens also putt well and play well here on the POA greens that we're going to see featured at the Silverado Resort on the North Course. So pay attention to that leaderboard in particular, you know, especially the one that just happened back there in July, and that was won by Nick Dunlop. Now, Nick's not here, but there's a lot of guys littered all over the top of that leaderboard that are here. Now, we're start talking about the leaderboard and the favorites, so we got to go over a couple guys. At the top of the betting board, we have those President's Cup participants. Now, of course, this makes sense. These are the best players from the international side and the American side, so we don't really have a lot of guys from the Tour Championship overall, but, you know, most of these guys have been there. You look at the two Americans that have played very, very well to close out the season, and that one of them is Wyndham Clark. He's here at plus 1,200. Do we like Wyndham Clark on this golf course? Long, great putter, average approach player. Man, he's been really good lately. But if we're looking for strengths, the number one strength you're going to need here, that approach play is certainly a concern for him. And his length, how much of an advantage is it on a 7,100-yard golf course that is overall kind of tight, not super tight, but we'd love Wyndham to have a little more room. Obviously, Sahith, the other one at plus 1,200. Both of these guys kind of bounce back and forth as the favorites for the tournament in order to win this week. Sahith is your defending champion. You almost wonder, to a certain degree, he was third at the Tour Championship a week ago. You almost wonder if some of these guys, I mean, why is Wyndham here? Doesn't need to be here. Maybe he didn't really like the way he played in Rome at the Ryder Cup. So maybe he's really pressing himself to play well on a tight golf course. Royal Montreal, certainly they're going to set that up to be very tight for the American side. They're not going to let us bomb and gouge that place, that's for sure. So this should be a very, very good warm-up for those guys. Sahith, would he be here if he wasn't the defending champion? Well, good on him for being there. He's also a California guy, and we see a lot of success over the years from West Coast guys on the leaderboards. Certainly that'll be a theme throughout the early leans that I have, and then, you know, down the road this week, when you read the line and you look at my, you know, my full betting card for all the subscribers there. And, you know, I wonder, you know, the third American is Max Homa, and, you know, Max's struggles this summer with the driver have been well documented. And I'm not here to, you know, pick on anybody when they're not playing well, but he's won here twice. So he's going to be very high up on the betting board because he's going to be a huge liability, and he's a very popular guy, and he's one that we certainly want to get to be in great form going into the President's Cup, as he's turned out to be somewhat of a team leader over the last couple international team matches. No JT up there in Royal Montreal, no Jordan Spieth. We're going to be looking towards guys like a Max Homa and Scotty and Xander and the others, but Max recently separated from Mark Blackburn, his longtime coach, which he had a lot of success with. Now he's working with Dana Dahlquist. So, you know, if Trav were here, I'm sure we would get into a deep dive on that. But we'll save that, and, you know, for 2 weeks' time when we get into the President's Cup, we'll talk a little bit more about Max as a case study. But for this week, I think it's good to hit the pause button. We'll flip over to the international side. You've got Corey Connors, Mac Hughes, and Minwoo Lee as their participants that are playing. And they also kind of fill out the top of this betting board. Corey Connors, historically, you haven't had to be a great putter in order to win here. You have to be a very good ball striker. So that kind of fits the bill there. And Corey's been putting better as of late. The President's Cup is in his home country. It'd be hard for me to think about him not looking past all of this and what's going to happen in Montreal in 2 weeks' time. Same thing with Mac Hughes. He has to be elated that he's on the team. And his strength is putting in short game, where spraying it off the tee could not be, I don't know, the best thing in the world heading into the North Course at Silverado, for sure. But then again, you know what? Sahith did it last year, and he was a sprayer. So Mac Hughes with that putter, he could definitely score. He could definitely go low. You know, he'd be the type of guy that I would definitely – he'd be excited going in on Thursday. Maybe he doesn't want to grind it to the end, but on Thursday, maybe a good first-round leader. You could see him easily going 7, 8, 9 under par, like right out of the chute, and then saying, all right, I'm playing great. I'm going to manage my fatigue and everything. I'm going to save myself for the President's Cup in a couple of weeks because, you know, consistency for him off the tee and the ability to keep up with that hot putter all the time is normally a challenge. So doing over 4 days, I don't know, but one day or some head-to-heads, if we see some good trends there, then definitely. And then the third guy is Minwoo Lee. And here's another guy, just like Wyndham Clark. Minwoo Lee is a top five strokes gained off the tee guy on the PGA Tour. He bombs it, and he hits it super straight. Approach game, bit of a weakness. Now, I know we're going with the short clubs here, but still, the better you are at swinging those wedges and nine irons, the better you are usually at swinging a seven iron too. And that's an area where Minwoo Lee definitely could use some help, and sitting right there around 20 to 1 plus 2,000. Just those six guys, they kind of fill out the top of the betting board. And, you know, for me, as far as the favorites goes, I just can't help but think that most of them are looking past what's happening this week and using this as more of a preparatory mission than they are using it as such to try to win a golf tournament. And there's going to be guys that are out there that are going to be way more motivated that sit maybe around 150. In FedEx Cup points, or they sit at 70 and they want to get inside that 10 and they want to get a really good start to their fall. So I'm looking a little bit further down the board when it comes to my early leans. And I'm going to mention three guys for you all before I wrap this thing up. The first guy I want to go with, and you've heard Travis and I talk about him a bunch, and that is JJ Spaun. He's a West Coast guy. Again, there's a theme here. Over the years, the guys that have won there, Homa, Thigala, Brendan Steele's won there twice. You know, these are West Coast characters, the Poana grass on the greens. They're used to growing up. It's much like, you know, the Bermuda grass guys we always talk about down in Florida. So the first guy I'm going to go with is JJ Spaun. He's bouncing around a little bit. He's in the high threes. He's in the low fours. I mean, I'd recommend grabbing him at anything above 35. But if you find him at plus four, 4,000, then I think you're going to be really happy with that. Ninth at the 3M. We were, you know, nobody was talking about him then. Read the line. We're talking about him. I'm saying we're playing JJ Spaun. The guy's an incredible ball striker up there in Minnesota. He keeps it between the lakes off the tee. The approach game takes over, and he's been trending with the putter. Ninth there. Then he goes third at the Wyndham. We were betting him again, right? This guy is in perfect position. Now, he had a bad start to his year, so he didn't have enough points to get into the playoffs, but the playoffs cuts off at 70 now. So JJ didn't have, I mean, he wasn't that far off the reservation, but he's had some rest, and now he's coming to a place where he finished 11th last year, and his approach game can take over, and he's good enough of a ball striker just to continue to put it in play. That's why he was 11th here last year. The putter's trending. He's going to be a hot name. I would grab him early. The second guy that people, they can't stop themselves from talking about because he finished 4th here last year, and I have to agree with him. I think that this is also a good spot for Eric Cole. Much like a Sahith, everyone's been waiting for Eric to win. So, his big issue is off the tee. But here's the thing. Much like other places where he's not forced to hit a ton of drivers, and he won't have to do that here, his wedge ability and his putter and his scoring ability far outweigh the amount of times he's going to need to use his driver here, hence the top five last year. So I love Eric Cole at a plus 4,500. I think that he is a very, very smart play. He's proven before. I mean, he won that rookie of the year a year ago. Why? Because in the fall, he just tore it up. He had like in like, what, six starts, he had four top fives or something ridiculous like that. Don't quote me on it entirely, but he was super hot in the fall. And this is a place that definitely suits him. It was one of those places where he had one of those top fives. He finished fourth, and he's been good this summer. You know, I know he wasn't good in his last event, the BMW. Maybe it was the air up there. Maybe it was fatigue. I don't know. But leading up into that, he had had a couple of really nice starts in a row, and this is another course that suits him perfectly. And then the third name I'm going to go with is Mack Meisner, right? McClure Meisner, if you're looking on DraftKings or if you're looking on the betting board, if they don't put Mack, his nickname, extremely good ball striker. Now, here's a guy. He hasn't won on the Korn Ferry Tour. He hasn't won on the PGA Tour. But he's had a lot of really, really nice starts this year. Ton of top 15s for a name that nobody knows. And here's the thing. I talked about the Barracuda earlier. Mack finished fourth there back in July, right? And it's the putter that lately has been popping for him, and that's why we keep seeing him in top tens on leaderboards. The ball striking, absolutely exquisite. And he's certainly the type of guy that could take over a place like this North Course. And a lot of people in the DFS world, in the Deegan world, in the betting world, they've been waiting for this guy to do something pretty dirty. And I think that there's no doubt that Mack Meisner is a name throughout this fall that we're going to be paying attention to. I just love the fit here at the Fortinet, especially after how well he played on the Poana grass and up there in Northern California, just about what, 7 weeks ago. So for me, I'm going to feature him. He's sitting at plus 6,000. His numbers kind of jumped a little bit. It was a little higher than that. So obviously a bunch of these by noon or whenever you're watching this, early Wednesday morning or late on a Tuesday, I would jump on some of these names early. But those are my three early leans. I'm going to have a couple more, I'm sure, when it all shakes down. You could certainly always see my content on Golf Digest. You could see me on Sports Grid channel going over the Pro Core Championship. And of course, you go to readtheline.com. And every Tuesday, there's no doubt you can catch me on a Stripe show with my good friend Travis Fulton. I'll be back in 2 weeks with him. I'll be live up in Canada for the President's Cup. I know Travis will be down there in Jacksonville or Ponte Vedra Beach, whichever little section of that area is there in his studio, coming to you live. But 2 weeks' time, we'll be back at noon for lunchtime talk in and around the President's Cup, Royal Montreal. 12 from each side. It's going to be a good set of matches. I can't wait to go through all of that and cover that. And speaking of matches, if you're into that sort of thing, the women, the LPGA, are playing their version of the Ryder Cup because it's Europe versus the American side. They call it the Solheim Cup. It's in America this year. It's at the Robert Trent Jones Golf Club, which is just outside the District of Columbia or Washington, D.C. You may remember that place many years ago when they started the President's Cup. A little bit of symmetry there, I guess. I didn't think of that at the time. But that was the first place that hosted the President's Cup. Absolutely magnificent golf facility alongside the shores of Lake Manassas. The ladies, 12 from each side, just the same. European side, not favored. Americans are minus 140, European side plus 180. Americans are better on paper in every single category. Why this happens every time, why the Europeans have won five of the last seven. I mean, you want to talk about close. The last time they played a year ago in Spain in the Solheim Cup, they tied 14-14. But if you own the cup, you keep the cup on a tie. Same thing in the Ryder Cup. The U.S. women need 14.5 points to take this thing. They're at home. They are younger. They are lower ranked in the Rolex World Rankings. They're better players. Home fans, we're taking this one back. I'm calling it. Solheim Cup. I'm on the minus 140 for the U.S. side. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch this weekend. It's the format Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Foursomes, alternate shot in the morning, four ball in the afternoon, Friday and Saturday, and then the 12 singles matches on Sunday. Hey, I know. There's college football. There's NFL football. There's all the above. But there are also commercials. Flip over. Get a second TV. Win a bet or two. We've done it all summer, right? We had Johnny Vegas. We had Aaron Rye, right? Splurge, get yourself a second TV. Watch the ladies compete this weekend, and you'll have some fun. And it'll be a good sort of preview for match play when we get ready to watch the guys in the President's Cup in 2 weeks' time. That's when I'll see you next. So on behalf of Travis Fulton, my name's Keith Stewart from Read the Line. See you in a couple weeks, everybody.